Song says, the whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. And that's true for every nation. It's true for every human being. So if there's darkness in your soul, know that Jesus could come and be the light that you long for, that you were created to have. And really know Him well during this time of year and seek Him and surrender to Him. When Jesus was about to be born, the angel of the Lord told Joseph these things, among some other words: give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And the name Jesus means the Lord saves. Only He can do it. So we're not going to do it ourselves. The church is not going to do it for you. All your devotional life, which is a result of your relationship with God, won't do that. Only the Lord will save you. And so you might say the angel's message majored on the majors of the faith. For the first coming, He will save us from our sins. At the second coming, if we don't have the forgiveness of sins, we'll be apart from God forever. So the criticalness of the name Jesus, the Lord saves. He will save us from our sins. The penalty of sin, the power of sin in our lives, which He continues to do, and then the presence of sin at His second coming. So the angel could have said, call Him teacher, because the people don't know very much information. And they're kind of ignorant, and so what they need is the best teacher to show up and teach. And certainly Jesus did that and changed many lives. In fact, He said, if you continue in My teaching or in My word, you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. But He was given the name Jesus. They needed a Savior. The angel could have said, call Him healer. The people have a lot of infirmities. They're sick. They need physical care. So Jesus, why don't you go and just have your number one ministry be healing? That would not be the number one ministry Jesus had, although He healed many people and helps people today in their need. The angel could have said, call Him king. Caesar is a bad ruler. If we only had a good ruler in our country, everything would be terrific, right? You have it. Thought maybe about next year? Well, God would say to you, give Him the name Jesus. He will save us from our sins. So Jesus was born to deal with our biggest problem. And our biggest problem is always sin. I was watching the news last week and talk program. It was a former press secretary of the White House being interviewed. Really intelligent man. Open-hearted, I think. And he said, you know, everybody in the government really knows what dire straits we are in. And we're in trouble. And so the government and the candidates are going to focus on the number one problem of the nation. And I leaned over to hear what the number one problem of the nation was. And he said, everybody's going to deal with the problem. Will our children be materially better off than we are? I thought, oh, Jesus and Christmas would tell us that is not the number one problem of any nation or of America. The number one problem in America is sin, turning away from God. Number one problem in my life is sin. Number one problem in your life would be sin and the alienation you have from God. When I turned to Christ in my own life, one of the high motivations, besides feeling purposeless, was the forgiveness of sin. Had a real sense of true guilt in my life. No matter what I did, I couldn't get away from that. Had a guilty conscience. Did you ever have a guilty? Did you ever try to get rid of a guilty conscience on your own? It's virtually impossible. And Macbeth's wife in the play Macbeth participated in murder, and throughout the rest of the play she literally, you know, loses her perspective on reality because she senses there's this undealt with sin in her life. And she says, do I have to have this blood on my hands until I die? And there's people who really live this way, not about a murder in particular, but about unresolved sin toward God or toward another person. And the Holy Spirit is faithful to bring conviction and turn the heat up on us so that we cry out to God and say, we need God's forgiveness. And often in our life, we try to distract ourselves from how we're doing with the Lord and any problem of sin or guilt that we might have. We might have said, I'm going to go on vacation. If I go on vacation, I can leave my guilt behind, but your guilt follows you on your vacation. I've been on vacations where the whole time I was miserable because I left unresolved guilt, either with God or with other people. You might get a raise at work and get that boost, but you'll still be burdened by the problem of real sin. You might get all the gifts you ever wanted for Christmas this Christmas, but they will all look like dust until you know you are forgiven in Christ. And Jesus said, sin would choke out the good seed of God's word. And so, thank the Lord. He came to save us from our sins. One of the first miracles Jesus did in Mark chapter 2, he almost bypassed because he started to deal with the forgiveness of sins. And it was a fellow who was paralyzed all his life, apparently. He was carried around by some friends. Probably wasn't the first time he was carried around. And he couldn't get to see Jesus, so they bring him through the roof. And the man's need's very obvious. Here comes a paralyzed man through the roof. I know why he came to church, because he needs God to help him physically. And Jesus looks at him and says, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, why in the world would Jesus say that? Jesus said that because that was the guy's biggest need. That was his biggest need. He would say, let me address the real issue of your life. You need the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus knew the guy would, you know, he would heal the guy because he's compassionate, but he would point to the forgiveness of sins and the authority he has to do that. He knew the man's legs would get weak again. Someday he wouldn't be able to walk as fast as he wanted to. And the man would die, but his soul would last forever. And so he offered him peace with God. And this is the message of all the preaching in the book of Acts. Most of the messages that you see in the book of Acts have to do with the forgiveness of sins. Peter, in his first sermon, he says, repent, be baptized, because Jesus forgives your sins. So that need in our life, part of the Lord's coming, was to show us the great need and the great fellowship we could have with God that we don't have without the forgiveness of sins. Acts chapter 10, Peter's talking this time to one man, Cornelius, a Roman soldier. He's summarizing the gospel for Cornelius. He says, all the prophets testify about Jesus that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins through his name. King David, think how far he fell from closeness with God. That might be your story, and maybe not as dramatic, but you say, well, I used to be a person after God's own heart, and now I'm sloughing around. I don't know if I'm close to God or not close. I don't know if I love God. I don't pray. I don't hear from him. When David wrote Psalm 103, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul. He started to list the benefits of God. And guess which one he puts right at the top? He forgives all my sins. A king who knew the Lord still knew that need. And the Lord is faithful to show us how greatly we need that peace with him that he would give. One at the cross, and yet somehow applied each day new, so we might live the gospel before people. The need is great. Psalm 130, if you, O Lord, kept the record of sins, who could stand? Just take the last week's walk with God. God said, there's no grace and no forgiveness this week. Everybody's judged on the basis of how well we walked with the Lord. You know, we would all say, well, we have no hope. We need Christ, just like we did when we received him. But with you, Lord, there is forgiveness, Psalm 130. Therefore, you are to be feared. Great passage on forgiveness, Isaiah 43. God says, I will remember your sins no more. Seems like only the Lord could practice that and also help us to practice that toward ourselves and toward others. One Bible commentator said, only omniscience, the God who knows everything, is smart enough or is wise enough to say, I commit to not remembering the sins of my people, because Jesus paid every debt in full. So that's a truly miraculous way to relate to God that he brings about. Now, if it's true that God doesn't remember your sin anymore, if you've confessed to him and made peace with him, who's going to bring up your sin and your guilt? Or maybe whose sin and guilt do you like to bring up? That's a toughie. God, if you know him, God will not bring up your sin and your guilt, except to point you to his son. So he's not going to hammer you with it or condemn you with that. Came to bring good news and life from death. There will be several, at least three ones who will bring up your sin. The devil will bring up your sin, even if you're a Christian. He's a liar. He can't be trusted. Resist him and he will flee from you, to know that peace with God. Second person who will bring up your sin will be you. You will bring up your sin against yourself. And probably because you're still trying to work your way to heaven. And instead of having a godly sorrow that turns you to God, you have an ungodly sorrow that just weighs yourself down. But God wants you not to be an accuser of yourself, but rather to fall on his mercy. A song says, not the labors of my hands can fulfill your law's demands, Lord. I to your fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. That's the song, Rock of Ages. And the next group who will bring up your sins, not surprisingly, we'll have mercy there, but other people will bring up your sins. Faithfully so, unfortunately. And when that happens, you know, you say, well, I'm at peace with God through Jesus. If a person wants to be at peace with me, I will offer confession and be sincerely brokenhearted about it. But beyond that, I simply can't listen to others bringing up my sins, because that's not God's strategy of redemption. You could pray for the person to know the forgiveness of Christ in their own life so they stop bringing up your sins, and let them know that Jesus brings forgiveness, not their harping on you about your many sins, which if they keep a record of, you're guilty. And in fact, that's one way you know you have tasted the forgiveness of God, that you don't bring up your sins against yourself and you don't bring up the sins of other people who have sinned against you. It may still hurt, may still have to struggle with that for a while, but you don't talk about those anymore, because God has taught you about the great forgiveness that his son has brought. So a good thing to put into practice, especially in family life, as you gather around the Christmas celebrations, and providentially you're seated across the guy who you know hasn't forgiven you, or you haven't forgiven them, and a good chance to practice the Christmas message in there. One more picture of the forgiveness of sins in Luke chapter 15. If you're a prodigal running away from God, but you're a child of God, you've received him into your life. You know, or if you're lost, you're just a lost person, you could come to the Lord and know that he would offer you forgiveness. He did so from the worst rebellious son listed in Luke's gospel. Anyway, the rebel son leaves home. He lives like a pagan. He comes back pretty dirty. He's dirty. There's evidence of sin all over his life. He doesn't even expect to be a part of fellowship with the Father. And what is the Father's response to the big sinner? Now, remember, the big sinner is maybe that guy you're holding something against, or maybe yourself who you're holding something against. What is the Father's response to the big sinner? Get the robe, get the ring, strike up the band, and get the best veal. God would do that for any soul here this morning. You'd say, well, I went out of bounds this week, and we need the robe of Christ, the fellowship of Christ, the inheritance of Christ, all given by the wonderfulness of the Father. And years ago, there was, I think the musical group was Glad, and they sang a song about the forgiveness of the Lord toward us. Good song for us, I think, at Christmas. Be ye glad, oh, be ye glad. Every debt that you ever had has been paid up in full by the grace of the Lord. Be ye glad, be ye glad. And I pray for our own souls that we would know that forgiveness of sins that Jesus would bring. And if he could do that for the penalty of sin, he could sure do that for the power of sin over our lives. Try this in your own soul and try this in your relationship with others. It's been said that forgiveness brings more obedience than the law would ever bring. That's probably, I would think that would be true based on the testimony of Genesis through Revelation. Forgiveness brings more obedience than the law could ever do. So we rejoice that Jesus came with a gift of himself. Let's all pray together. Lord, thank you. We could rejoice in you, Jesus, because you do save us from our sins. Might we know the need and pass on the good news of great joy. I pray each one of us would feel that peace and cleanness and fresh start with you daily and throughout this season. In your name we pray. Amen.